Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Your boy's back at the helm. It's a great Tuesday night. Time to get it in a little bit. Timeless and Moe's. You know how we do. On that cue, I'd like to welcome everybody into our launch, brand new series that we're kicking off here on Sports City Chef. It's a 30-minute sit-down, mano-a-mano, one-on-one, and we're going to be breaking down one topic every week. It's going to be an exciting new era of talk, and I look forward to kicking it off tonight, being back in the kitchen at the helm. I'm going to bring in my co-host, the man that needs no intro, Mr. Timeless. Timeless, how are you feeling tonight?
I done took off the blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped inside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. I'm feeling some type of way. New year, 2019, getting stuff back underway. 2 weeks of missing action, but I came back with a vengeance with the sidekick again, or my co-host, however you want to look at it, Mr. Moves. Welcome back to the kitchen.
I appreciate it. I don't know if you guys heard the drums under there for a second. I did try to kick off a intro song that I was going to talk over, The Ruler's Back, but it didn't get in right, so I didn't want to hiccup on my first night back, so I figured to get on in. It's good to be back. Good to hear you live on Blog Talk Radio once again, and it's hot and heavy. So tonight we're having big talk. And for the first 30-minute segment that we're doing, we're going to talk NBA playoffs upcoming. We are in the final home stretch of the NBA season. Most teams have around 15 games to go. And I want to bring that up. That's our discussion tonight, NBA playoffs. We're going to go over the East and West. Some topics that we're going to discuss are contenders, bubble teams, surprise teams that might make a splash in the playoffs, biggest playoff disappointment, biggest failure. We'll get into the whole topic as we can. I'm going to start off going with the East as our opening topic. And just what do you think about the Eastern Conference so far this year? It looks like we're shaping up to a close finish in the eighth seed. Most of the top is as normal. What's your thoughts on how the East has played out this season?
Round of applause, everybody. Round of applause. Eastern Conference. Finally, you guys look like you guys want to play some ball. They have one team that's below 500 in the top games in a row. They just lost their last game. The Brooklyn Nets have been playing well outside of Dinwiddie being injured and them dealing with a whole bunch of injuries throughout the season. So, you know, there's a couple of different instances in the Eastern Conference that I'm surprised with. You know, I got to say some of the stuff, you know, for some of the topics that you have, because I don't want to give away too many of the pieces that I have for the puzzle here. But the Eastern Conference has definitely stepped up their play, and I am surprised with some of the teams that are on top of the pile instead of being in the midst of the pile.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the most exciting Eastern Conference races I've seen pretty much since pre-LeBron, right? I mean, you go back the last 7-8 years, it's almost been a fixture that whatever team LeBron James has been a part of is going to run through the Eastern Conference. This year, we've had the emergence of the Milwaukee Bucks, which has pretty much taken that conference and ran away with it. I know they're up 2.5 games on Toronto. Toronto's looked great with the acquisition of Kawhi Leonard and the trade deadline to acquire Marc Gasol. But Milwaukee, you got to think, this team could be real deal when it comes playoff time. I want to say that the one team that everybody's probably a little bit shocked about is where Boston sits at the number 5 spot. Most people had them pegged to be a number 1 seed, had them pegged to run through the Eastern Conference. They figured after LeBron left that this was their show, and they've had a tough time meshing this year, and it's been one of those – you know, I guess you can say head-scratching moments where one day they're playing lights out, and then the next game they're playing like last night, getting blown out. So Eastern Conference, definitely a very exciting playoff run to come up. We also have a close playoff push between, I would say, three teams in the mix for that final eight seed, Miami, Orlando, and Charlotte. We're going to get into that. Because we're only on limited time, you know, we got to run through topics. So that's just going to be our touch on the East. I'm going to shave over to the West. Your general overview of what the West has shaped up to be this year.
I might as well set things off with a bang right now. And I said this on February 10th on a show here in Sports City. The Warriors will not win the Western Conference. The Warriors will not
win the Western Conference.
That's how packed the Western – Drop the bomb. I'm not playing around. Not at all. Not at all, dog. I think there are a lot of teams in the Western Conference that are ready for what they're throwing out there. And just to look at Kevin Durant's frustration and how he's already 1 foot out the door, because I've seen this happen as of the year 2016. When he was acting 50-50, he left. It looks like it's about to happen again. And just a few nights ago, something happened in the Oracle where Steve Kerr said, "I'm tired of Draymond Green's effing ish." Okay, so Draymond being the defensive anchor, KD being the one of the scoring powers. I can't say the scoring power, but one of the scoring powers out the door. It looks like it could be potentially up for grabs. I only think there's about two or three teams that could fight with the Warriors, but I think the Warriors will not hoist another Larry O'Brien trophy this year.
All right, well, TP's definitely going bold there, saying the Warriors are not his pick to come out of the Western Conference. You know, I like it. I like the hot sauce. I like to lay it on the line. Like I said, you know, one of my thoughts behind this show is to really dive into the topic, do some bold predictions, you know, put our thought process out there. And that way when stuff does stick, you can say, hey, go back to it. March 12th, I've been calling it. Warriors are not going to make it through the Western Conference. Right from there, I'm going to go into my first thought process are the three contenders. I want you to give me, and I'm going to do it as well. We're going to do your top three teams on each conference, regardless of seed, regardless of record, when it comes to playoff picture. Let's start with the East. Who is your third, second, and one top contender to win the Eastern Conference this year?
From 3-1, I'll go 3-1.
I go
Milwaukee 3, Toronto 2, Boston is still number one to win the East.
So you still put Boston as the favorite in your mind to come out of the East, regardless if they finish where they would right now, it's a 5 seed.
They had all the experience they needed last year to go 7 games with LeBron James. If LeBron wasn't on the Cleveland Cavaliers, they would have been in the NBA Finals. Nothing has changed, but they added Kyrie to this year because Kyrie was injured. The one thing that's happening is that they're having a difficult situation dealing with Kyrie. Once Kyrie understands these guys, I think they'll get it. And it's getting close to playoff time, so they're going to have to make this change now. I really want to say Philly, too. I want to switch one of these. Matter of fact, you know what? I'll switch it. Let me remove the Bucks. I'll put Philly at 3. I think the Sixers will be 3rd. I don't believe in the Bucks. Even though the Bucks are playing the best basketball in the league, I think when it's wrecking time, and when I say wrecking time, that means postseason play. I think that's why I hold this situation. I think that once the light hits the Bucks, you'll see the real Milwaukee team.
All right, well, we're going to go 3-1. I'm going to do the same thing. Like I've been saying, go bold or go home. Number 3, I'm putting the Toronto Raptors as the 3rd contender. I think with Kawhi, that team has the capability of making a deep playoff run. It seems like every year Toronto fails. Number 2, I'm going to put the Bucks at number 2. I like Milwaukee. Giannis has been absolutely a monster this year. That team has come together. They're the true definition of a team. And my number one team is the Philadelphia 76ers. I think they're coming out of the East. I'm going on Philly's back. I'm riding Philly. And, yes, that means I'm leaving the Boston Celtics out of the picture. I'm saying that Boston will lose either in the first round or the second round. It depending if they can beat Indiana, if they end up with a 4 or 5 seed, I think they're going to have their hands full playing against the Bucks. So I'm saying my top three contenders are Philly, Milwaukee, and Toronto.
Interesting. I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that, not one bit.
Flip it over to the Western Conference. I think this is going to be the conference that, you know, me and you are probably going to hit all three teams, probably just in a different chronological order. I'll go 3-2-1 on this one since you went 3-2-1 on the last one. I'm going to say number three. I'm going to put Houston at number three. Chris Paul, James Harden. The thing is with the ISO ball, I think eventually it's going to lead them in a playoff series to be having some problems. I know that ISO ball is going to change, obviously, as players get healthier. Chris Paul gets more of a mix. They're hot right now. They've won nine in a row. Houston is definitely playing some elite ball, but when it comes time to playoffs, we've seen it time and time again. Unfortunately, with Chris Paul's teams and with James Harden's teams, when it comes to a seven-game series, they always end up falling short. I still love them to go at least win a round or two, but I'm putting them at three. I'm going with OKC number two. I think when you have two elite players like Russell Westbrook and Paul George together, you factor in the way that they've been playing all year. I know a lot of the headlines right now, especially after last night's run-in with Utah, is on the wrong thing for OKC. But let's just focus on them as far as how they've been playing basketball this year. They're going to have a tough first-round matchup, more than likely against Portland. But I like OKC as my number two team, which means I think my number one, I got to go with the Warriors. I know you're going to go outside on this. But to beat the champ, you got to beat the champs. And until someone can show me different in the playoff, I'm putting them as the number one contender in the Western Conference.
Well, since I already started the show off saying that, and also I said it in February 10th, so number three would be Golden State. I have to go Golden State. And it may not pan out with them being the third team to be knocked up in the Western Conference, but I'm going to put them at three. Two is Houston. One is OKC. He said go bold or go home. I'm doing both. I'm going home with it, and I'm going bold with it. I think now is the time for Oklahoma City. I think there's one thing about Houston is why I put them at number two is that they do have those defensive laps. Like, they'll go a situation where Houston won't play D. They'll let people come right to the lane or hoist shots up, and they want to go shot for shot. The best defensive team to me right now out West, I like the Thunder defensively. And, of course, that's a homer situation of mine, but with the way that Paul George has been playing, leading the league in steals, everybody on the team is getting steals. They block shots as well. They're all playing good ball defensively. All they have to do is just put up their 100-some-odd points to win the game, and that's their tall task, is if they can go out there and score those points. But defensively, they're a juggernaut. So I'm going with the Thunder, and I'm going bold, and I'm going home with it.
As far as timeless, he's liking a probably matchup. I like Philly and Golden State. We're going to go from the contenders to, I guess you can say, the pretenders, or the teams will be the tighter matchup. You have pretty much two games separating three teams for that eighth seed. I'm going to put Detroit just one level above these guys right now. So my three bubble teams, and I'm asking you about who's going to win out and make the playoffs, Miami, Orlando, and Charlotte, who are you taking for that final eighth seed?
Without question. And his middle name is my first name. I'm going with Dwayne Tyrone Wade. I'm going with the Heat. I couldn't see Wade leaving the NBA with no playoff run. And last year he made it interesting going up against Philly and winning that game in Philadelphia. He thought he was going to win another game, and they fell short. I think this year it'll be very interesting again to see Wade as an eight seed potentially going up against the Bucks, and they could probably upset the Bucks. This could happen. So I think the Heat hang on to the eight seed. As decent as the Magic have been playing and the tear that Kemba's been on, I mean, Kemba probably could get most improved player or – one of the neediest players of the team. I got to give Kemba work on that. But I could see Dwayne Wade's career ending in April, like around the 12th or 15th of the middle of the month. So I'm going with the Heat to win that eight.
All right, I do like the Heat. Process of elimination for me, I'm going to take the Magic out of the equation. But I'm going to pick Charlotte for my lock for this eighth seed. I'm going to pick Charlotte, like you just said, my guy Kemba. Right around March, he always has something special up his sleeve. March, April, as we get closer to the playoff push right here in the final segment of the season, I think that the Hornets are going to be able to reel off some wins, and they're going to secure that eighth seed and leave Dwayne Wade in Miami just short of the playoffs this year. As far as the West goes, I know everybody's locked in pretty still. On the outside bubble, Sacramento is 4 games back. Minnesota is 5.5 game back. And I'm not even going to talk about anybody beyond that at this point. Is Utah to you a lock-in for the playoffs at number 8? Or do you see either one of those two teams on the outside making a final push to get into the playoffs?
It's between Utah and Minnesota. I like the Kings last year, but they let me down last year. They could potentially get that spot because they're loaded now, especially with the addition of Harrison Barnes. This actually makes them real tough because they have him and Buddy Hield on each side of the floor that can load up this floor and shoot the heck out that ball. But I think it's between Utah and Minnesota. Minnesota fell in a deep hole right now, and the way that Utah's been playing as of late, and I mean, I'm being home. I'm going bold or going home. Donovan Mitchell, state of Connecticut. I got to go with the kid from Connecticut. So Utah may potentially hang on to this team, especially the way that they played ball last year, docking off the Thunder in the playoffs and giving Houston a hell of a run. I think Utah hangs on to it.
I'm going to agree with you completely on this one, so I'm not going to overbeat this one down. I agree. Utah holds out. I think it's unfortunate. I love what Sacramento's doing. I think that team is a year or two away from being a true contender out West. Love Buddy Hield, De'Aaron Fox, and they will win out. We got a little bit more than 10 minutes to go. I still got a few more, like we like to call it, dishes up my sleeve. So I'm going to start with this one. Last year, you know, we saw a couple surprise runs, I guess you can say, one being definitely Anthony Davis and the Hornets making a run in the playoffs. Who do you think could be that team this year, maybe a 5-8 seed that could shock us all and make a surprise run in these playoffs on either conference?
If Miami doesn't do it in the East, I could look at potentially the Spurs making something interesting happen with whoever falls in at that 2 seed. They can do it. Portland as well. Portland is another team out West that I think that they could shock teams too, because they have firepower shooting the heck out of the ball. But I got to go with how I started the show. My surprise would be Boston if they stay as the 5th seed. If you're going 5-8 and Boston stays at the 5th seed, the Celtics would be the surprise for me.
They would definitely be a 5 seed. I respect the answer. To me, they're not much of a surprise. They were still a favorite. They're a team that definitely contends. But nonetheless, they did fit the quote of an underdog, a team that would be a road non-favorite in the first round. Whoever stays at 2, whoever ends up playing them, whether it's San Antonio, whether it's Utah, or whether it's the Clippers, I think all three of them could give Denver fits. I'm going to go on a limb and say that Utah ends up as the 7th seed, and I'm going to say that Utah beats Denver in the first round, the 7th seed defeating the 2 seed. I'm taking the Jazz as a 7th seed over Denver as my surprise team. Donovan Mitchell, that team, I like what they do. I think they are a team in a 7-game series. They play good defense. They're going to match up well with Denver. They both are depth, and they got some young scorers. I'm going to – my underdog, the Utah Jazz, in the 7th seed. If they get the 8th seed, they play the Warriors. I would probably backtell a lot of that. But as is, that would be my surprise run team as a 7th seed, the Utah Jazz. Playoff disappointment. So this kind of goes hand in hand. But which team do you think is going to be the biggest playoff disappointment, team that makes the playoffs – that either maybe loses in the first or second round, or just doesn't really meet the expectations that fans, the league, and maybe Vegas have in store for this team?
This is the reason why I skipped around them from saying the run that they could potentially be on, but I mentioned them, the San Antonio Spurs. As much as I respect Coach Popovich, is the quality of players that they have there in L.A., being LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan. They came out of the gate stumbling bad, and you could tell Coach Popovich, he said he wasn't even thrilled with the sport of basketball anymore. And I know he has the power to get this team ready for the month of April and May, but it's something about this Spurs team that doesn't have that flair. And I think the Spurs can fall flat, and be in a situation where they go up against one of these tough teams in the first round and get knocked out, potentially be a 4-1 series. I won't say swept. If they get swept, that'll be even more of a shocker, but I think that they will probably lose, interesting enough.
All right. Pop and company. My biggest disappointment is going to be the team that everyone expected to be in the finals. Everybody expected to be a one seed. Everybody to pretty much own the East for the next 10 years. I think it's going to be the Boston Celtics. I think they, for whatever reason, I know they have the talent. I know they have the players. It just seems like there's some disconnect. There's the chemistry is not there. There's a true trouble in Boston, and I don't think they're going to have it figured out in time. I think there's a disconnect between Kyrie Irving and the rest of that team. They play like a completely different team with and without him. And even if they end up making it through the Pacers, which if I was picking that series, I would pick the Celtics. I think they're going to have a big problem with Milwaukee. I think Giannis is going to show everybody why he is one of, if not the best player currently in the NBA. And I think when it's all said and done, it's going to be Boston that's going to be the biggest disappointment of a playoff team this year. And, you know, that's something. That's something. Now, can they turn around? Absolutely. They have all the measurables. But so far what they showed me is inconsistent and not living up to the full potential of that team. And I don't know if Brad Stevens can fix them in enough time to get them on the right side of the playoff run and into the finals. I'm going to go with the last one and talk about biggest failure this season. The team that's not
playoffs?
Even.
Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me?
That's not
playoffs.
Even
I just hope we can win a game.
Thinking about the playoffs. And I'm just going to bring it out there straight up. Is there anybody that's a bigger failure this NBA season than the Los Angeles Lakers?
Of course. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Let me tell you something. When this season started, I was telling people like crazy, LeBron can't change that team. Like I thought that he probably had the potential to get them to the playoffs, but I knew that the Lakers would either fall flat on their face or look bad going into this season. I didn't think that they would not even make the playoffs again for their sixth straight season. I didn't even know it was six straight seasons that they didn't make the playoffs. So this goes all into the lines of Kobe's career. But there's a team that has better position players at this point in time that look worse than what they do right now. And I'm going to take it right to the Capitol, right to where President Trump is, even though I really like calling him Trump. I don't really like calling him president, but that's another show, you know. But the Wizards. The Wizards are playing so horrible. They're 11 games under 500, and it's personal to me because Scott Brooks was the former coach of the Thunder and had that team with a whole bunch of 21- and 22-year-olds get to the finals. He has a whole bunch of talent on the Wizards. Now, granted, John Wall is out for the season due to injury, but they have a lot of talent still there. Bradley Beal being there. Dwight Howard can't get over his injury situation. Who knows what the heck has been happening with him off of the court, but him not being on the floor, having to deal with stuff off the court, them getting Jeff Green, them getting rid of Otto Porter, sending him to Chicago. They're bringing in Bobby Portis as well. I mean, they have so many different names there. Jabari Parker, they have quality players on this Wizards team, and they're this far behind, under 500, and they're nowhere near sniffing. Well, they're close enough. I mean, they're three games away from where the Heat are right now, but I feel like they're strong enough to get into the postseason, and this could potentially be a season where Scott Brooks gets fired.
Now, I agree the Wizards have definitely underperformed, but John Wall's out for the year, and I don't think, in my opinion, that they are as big of a disappointment as the Lakers. I think the Lakers trump it all. LeBron, definitely the injury hurt their momentum. Trade talks with Anthony Davis hurt their confidence. And, I mean, this team has just been horrible down the stretch. There was a chance about a week ago that they could have made the push for an 8 seed. Now they're pretty much just tanking it in. Ball's pretty much done for the year. Kuzma's done for the year. LeBron's on a minute count. Don't even know what's up and down with Brandon Ingram. This team has by far been the biggest disappointment because people had the expectation that this team would at least be a four seed, or at least, let's just say, a playoff team. And you use probably one of the last key prime years for LeBron. And I know the injuries hurt, but this is definitely going to be a tough blow for this organization. You already hear all the rumors of free agency, who will come, who won't come. But, you know, they're only going to have LeBron for 3 more years. So to lose season one and it's completely beyond the playoffs, it's definitely not what the Los Angeles Lakers hope for when they sign him. And to make matters worse, they will be playing basketball in May in Staples Center, but it will be by their roommates, the Los Angeles Clippers. So to me, biggest disappointment of the year, I got to go with the Lakers. I respect the Wizards, but to me, it's none bigger than them.
Can I ask you a question? Where did you feel like the Lakers were going to finish this year?
I mean, early on, I thought they'd be a 4 or 5 seed. Before LeBron got injured, you know, before that Christmas injury, they were playing good. The problem became the injury. They went back to their previous experience ways. They couldn't close out games. And then the trade deadline just killed them. Whatever confidence, you know, these young guys, you know, old veterans, they take trade rumors with a grain of salt because why? They've been there, done that. But it definitely affected these young guys. And the Lakers have just fallen flat on their face. There's no recovering. I saw the stat today. They had the same record this year as last year, and if everybody would have thought that this team would have been finishing in the same record as last year, and that's with bringing LeBron over, to me, you know, you look at Vegas, you look at all the odds, everybody had pegged up the Lakers, and I think a huge disappointment, and definitely one that the fan base is going to feel. Well, I'm going to start to close up shop. I know this 30-minute window flies by. It's a lot of topics in a short period of time. For all of you listening to our closeout, just want to give you a little rundown of what the new overview is. We're not taking callers. We're doing a one-on-one segment, 30 minutes, one general topic, and then trying to break down that topic. You know, if we're doing NBA, we're not trying to get into NFL. If we're doing NFL, not trying to get into MLB, but rather condensed topics so that people know what they're listening to when they see the episode online and they don't listen for one thing and then hear a bunch of other topics that they weren't expected to. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for following. There's going to be more insight to come. TP, anything that you want to plug or promo that's coming up for Sports City Chefs? And let the listeners know where to tune in.
Thursday, the Crossover Cafe will be back in the session. Breaking news, Odell Beckham Jr. to the Cleveland Browns. I'm getting hit on crazy texts like, open the kitchen door. I said, nope. Mo said, none of you. So he meant none of you. But OBJ to the Browns, I am completely stunned. Stunned. So this, I really think Eli's done. I think Eli's probably done after this season, though. But tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
I caught the OBJ news on the top of the show. It was very hard for me not to break into that. But considering that I set up a certain format that I wanted to go across, I didn't want to start tiptoeing that line on the first night. Thanks, everybody, for joining in with us. This is Moe's back in the kitchen, kicking around with Timeless. We'll have more episodes to come. Who knows, some special episodes with this new format. You never know. You might get this on a special night because OBJ broke news, and guess what? Bam, we got a demand. We want to get on there and get to it. So stay tuned. Stay plugged in, sportscitychefs.com. Check out the fan page on Facebook. Check out the Twitter account. Follow us as you always do. Much love in the kitchen. We out of here, baby. Till next time, it's the Chefs again, and you know how we do. Go bold and go home, baby. We out.